Sutra, the ninth great vow. I vow that in a future life, when I attain Bodhi, I shall liberate sentient beings from the nets of demons and the bonds of external sects, if they have fallen into the dense forests of evil views. I shall lead them to have proper views and to gradually cultivate the practices of bodhisattvas, so they will quickly realize unsurpassed, proper, and equal Bodhi. Commentary. The ninth great vow concerns destroying the nets of demons and gaining liberation from the dense forests of the evil views of externalists. Medicine Master Buddha said, I vow that in a future life, when I attain Bodhi, I shall free sentient beings from the nets of demons. Right now, as people, we are very close to the demons and very far from the Buddhas. If we wish to be a demon, we can do so any time. If we wish to become Buddhas, we have to break through many dense forests of evil views. We have to cast out deviant views and constantly cultivate proper views before we can escape the demons' nets. As these nets are very tough to break, we may easily become followers of demons and asuras. If we are always getting angry or doing stupid things, we are in the nets of demons. When a fisherman nets a big fish, he thinks, "What a big fish I've caught for supper today!" When a demon catches a person in its net, it thinks, "Great! I've got another person for my retinue." How can we escape the nets of demons? It's very simple. Just avoid getting mad and doing stupid things. Demons use their tricks to lead people to believe in wrong views, and it's very difficult for them to get free. However, if we rely on the power of Medicine Master Buddha's vow, it becomes very easy to escape the demons' nets and the bonds of external sects. External sects follow the demons in the heavens. They use various methods to control people, even making them swear that if they disobey, they will be struck by lightning or suffer other calamities. Thus, the adherents of external sects dare not offer any opposition, even though they know their belief is mistaken. They have no freedom and cannot escape. If they have fallen into the dense forests of evil views. There are all sorts of deviant knowledge and views, as thick as forests, that totally control people's minds. Buddhism, however, does not try to control people. I once announced to a group of Buddhists in the presence of the Roman Catholic Cardinal of Taiwan, Paul Yubin, "If you think Buddhism is too old-fashioned and you want to find a new, trendy religion, here is your chance to change your faith. Buddhism is not a prison. People are free to choose whatever religion they like." Then I turned to Cardinal Yubin. "Do you dare to tell your followers the same thing?" He couldn't do it because his religion still wants to control people. Those who desert their religion are considered the greatest offenders. The dense forests of evil views refers to views that cannot be brought out into the open and discussed in public. Medicine Master Buddha says, "When I meet people of deviant views, I shall lead them to have proper views and to gradually cultivate the practices of bodhisattvas. I shall explain proper views to them and teach them to cultivate the six perfections and myriad practices of bodhisattvas, so they will quickly realize unsurpassed, proper, and equal Bodhi." Sutra. The Tenth Great Vow. I vow that in a future life, when I attain Bodhi, I shall cause sentient beings who fall into the hands of the law and are bound, interrogated, whipped, fettered, imprisoned, sentenced to execution, or subjected to endless disasters, hardships, abuse, and humiliation, so that they are torn by grief and distress, and suffering in body and mind, to obtain, upon hearing my name, liberation from all worries and sufferings by means of my blessings, virtue, and awesome spiritual power. Commentary. The Tenth Great Vow. I vow that in a future life, when I attain Bodhi, I shall cause sentient beings who fall into the hands of the law and are bound, interrogated, whipped, fettered, imprisoned, sentenced to execution, or subjected to endless disasters, hardships, abuse, and humiliation, so that they are torn by grief and distress, and suffering in body and mind. People may be arrested on false charges, or they may break the law by accident and end up in prison. They are interrogated, and later their own testimony is used to incriminate them. They are flogged, beaten, and bound hand and foot, losing their freedom and being cut off from the outside world. Under the mental and physical anguish, they feel as if they were being roasted alive. Perhaps they are sentenced to die because the government wants to make an example out of them. They may be beheaded, shot, or electrocuted. To obtain, upon hearing my name, liberation from all worries and sufferings by means of my blessings, virtue, and awesome spiritual power. Medicine Master Buddha vowed, if such people hear my Buddha name, then by means of the blessings and virtue that I have cultivated in past lives, they will be saved from all disasters and hardships, and will obtain bliss. Sutra. The 11th Great Vow. I vow that in a future life, when I attain Bodhi, I shall cause all sentient beings who are so plagued by hunger and thirst that they create all kinds of bad karma in their quest for food, upon hearing my name and single-mindedly accepting and maintaining it, to be filled with delicious food and drink, and afterwards, by means of the flavor of Dharma, to settle in ultimate peace and happiness. Commentary. The 11th Great Vow. I vow that in a future life, when I attain Bodhi, I shall cause all sentient beings who are so plagued by hunger and thirst, either because they have no food or drink at all, or because they are unable to eat and drink what they have, that they create all kinds of bad karma in their quest for food. Their hunger may drive them to plunder and kill in order to obtain food and drink. Medicine Master Buddha vowed, upon hearing my name and single-mindedly accepting and maintaining it, if they retain my name in their minds, I will cause them to be filled with delicious food and drink. I will make appear all kinds of delicious food so that they may eat their fill, and afterwards by means of the flavor of Dharma. I will cause them to settle in ultimate peace and happiness. Then I will explain the Dharma to them so that they may taste its supreme wonderful flavor and attain perfect peace and bliss. Sutra, the 12th Great Vow. I vow that in a future life, when I attain Bodhi, if there are sentient beings who are poor and without clothes, so that day and night they are troubled by mosquitoes and flies, and by cold and heat, upon hearing my name and single-mindedly accepting and maintaining it, they shall obtain all kinds of fine and wonderful garments that accord with their tastes, as well as a variety of precious adornments, flower garlands, fragrant balms, and the enjoyments of music and various kinds of talents, so that all their hearts' delights will be fulfilled. Commentary. Medicine Master Buddha must have known poverty and hardships in the past, and so he made vows to save all living beings from such sufferings. In the 12th Great Vow, he says, I vow that in a future life, when I attain Bodhi, if there are sentient beings of any nationality or ethnic background who are poor and without clothes. The previous vow was to save beings without food, but this vow talks about beings who have neither food nor clothes, so that day and night they are troubled by mosquitoes and flies, stinging and biting insects, and by cold and heat. Without clothes, they suffer day and night from the cold and the heat. Upon hearing my name, the name I will have as a Buddha, and single-mindedly accepting and maintaining it. That's the main thing. You have to single-mindedly recite the name. Bringing the mind to one, you recite Medicine Master Buddha's name in thought after thought all day long. They shall obtain all kinds of fine and wonderful garments that accord with their tastes. They obtain the most wonderful clothing, exactly the kind they like, as well as a variety of precious adornments. Playthings made of the seven treasures, gold, silver, vijuria, crystal, mother of pearl, red pearls, and agate. They obtain whatever catches their fancy. For example, flower garlands made of the seven treasures, expensive fragrant balms to give as offerings to the Buddhas, and the enjoyments of music and various kinds of talents, so that all their hearts' delights will be fulfilled. They obtain all these playthings for their amusement. Sutra. Manjushri, these are the 12 sublime and wonderful vows that the world-honored one, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, one of proper and equal enlightenment, made while cultivating the Bodhisattva way. Commentary. Shakyamuni Buddha calls out to the wisest of bodhisattvas. Manjushri, whose name means wonderfully auspicious. His Bodhi Manda is on China's Mount Wutai, which is snow-covered all year round. He probably chose Mount Wutai because he likes to cultivate in cold places. Shakyamuni Buddha addresses the wise Bodhisattva Manjushri because only a very wise person can understand the great vows of Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata. These are the 12 sublime and wonderful vows that the world-honored one, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, one of proper and equal enlightenment, made while cultivating the Bodhisattva way. World-honored one, and one of proper and equal enlightenment, are two of the 10 titles of the Buddhas. Although 12 vows are not very many, these vows can solve the problems of all living beings, whether they are suffering or happy, wise or ignorant. The vows are called sublime because they are extremely important and can rescue all beings. Sutra. Moreover, Manjushri, if I were to speak for an eon or more about the great vows made by the world-honored one, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, when he was practicing the Bodhisattva way, and about the merit, virtue, and adornments of his Buddha land, I could not finish. Commentary. Moreover, Manjushri, Shakyamuni Buddha continues, if I were to speak for an eon or more about the great vows made by the world-honored one, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, when he was practicing the Bodhisattva way, and about the merit, virtue, and adornments of his Buddha land, the Vaidurya land in the east, I could not finish. Even if I spoke continuously for a great eon or more, I still could not finish in that long of time. Sutra. That Buddha land has always been completely pure. There are no women, and no evil destinies, and no sounds of sufferings. The ground is made of Vaidurya, with golden cords lining the roads, the city walls, towers, palace pavilions, studios, windows, and lattice work are all made of the 7 treasures. The merit, virtue, and adornments of this land are identical to those of the western land of ultimate bliss. Commentary. That Buddha land has always been completely pure. It is always clean, pure, and undefiled, as bright and clear as Vaidurya. There are no women in the Vaidurya land. Some women's rights activists object to Amitabha Buddha's land of ultimate bliss, saying, why are there no women in that land? Does Amitabha Buddha look down on women? Does he favor men over women? Not at all. We should realize that the Saha world, in which men and women engage in lust, is filled with all kinds of evil and sufferings. There is nothing worthwhile here. Everything is unclean. The Saha world is known as the world of the 5 turbidities. Our time is very impure. That's the turbidity of the eon. The things we see with our eyes are also unclean. That's the turbidity of views. We all have incredibly many afflictions. That's the turbidity of afflictions. Living beings are all born from emotional desire, and they are differentiated into males and females. That's the turbidity of living beings. Not only human beings, but all beings with blood and breath are this way, born from sexual desire and dying from sexual desire. Even germs are imperceptibly brought into existence by this kind of desire. As long as there is desire, one is impure. The turbidity of life comes about because beings in the Sahal world live in an extremely unclean environment. The things we see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and think about are all unclean. Thus, this is known as the evil world of the five turbidities. In contrast to our dusty, defiled world, there is no dirt in the heavens, nor in the western land of ultimate bliss, where the ground is paved with gold, nor in the eastern Vaidurya land, which has ground made of Vaidurya. The people in the land of ultimate bliss are born transformationally from the vows of Amitabha Buddha, and they are free of desire. The Vaidurya land is created from the vows of Medicine Master Buddha. Because these Buddha lands are completely free of desire, and birth occurs by transformation, not by sexual reproduction, there are no women in these lands. No evil destinies and no sounds of sufferings. The hells, hungry ghosts, and animals do not exist in the Vaidurya land. There aren't any heartbreaking sounds of pain, sorrow, or distress. The ground is made of Vaidurya, with golden cords lining the roads. The Vaidurya land is so named because its ground is made of Vaidurya. Ropes and railings made of gold are used to mark the sides of the roads. The city walls overlook the moat of the city. Towers are lookout towers above the city gate, or openings in the city wall. Palace pavilions refer to two-story buildings inside the palace. Studios refer to individual rooms. The windows are clear and everything is very clean. And lattice work. There are 7 rows of trees and 7 layers of netting. They are all made of the 7 treasures. Gold, silver, Vaidurya, crystal, mother of pearl, red pearls and agate. The merit, virtue, and adornments of this land are identical to those of the western land of ultimate bliss. They are exactly the same. As the saying goes, Akshopya in the east, Amitabha in the west. Akshopya, Medicine Master Buddha, the teaching host of the Vaidurya land, leads the Vajra division. Amitabha Buddha, the host of the land of ultimate bliss, leads the lotus division. At the city of 10,000 Buddhas, we recite the name of Medicine Master Buddha in the morning and dedicate the merit to the Dharma protectors of the city, praying that they will be safe from disasters and will enjoy long life. At noon, we recite Namo Fundamental Teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, in order to repay the kindness of Shakyamuni Buddha, who taught the Dharma to us. In the evening, we recite the name of Amitabha Buddha, vowing to be born in the land of ultimate bliss, where the 3 evil paths do not exist. In the Saha world, we are troubled and afflicted every day, but in the land of ultimate bliss and the Vaidurya land, there is only happiness. The city of 10,000 Buddhas is a new way place, and we recite the names of three different Buddhas in the morning, at noon, and in the evening. In this respect, we differ from way places in China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, Vietnam, and other countries where they follow the Chinese Buddhist tradition and recite Amitabha Buddha's name all the time. When left-home people from other places visit the city of 10,000 Buddhas, they think that we do everything wrong and do not understand the rules. We do not claim that what we do at the city of 10,000 Buddhas is correct. However, when we rise in the morning, we should emulate the vows of Medicine Master Buddha, who quells disasters and lengthens life. This will give us the fresh, youthful energy of dawn, an invigorating vitality like that of trees reviving after a drought, or a spring bubbling forth from the ground. When we rise at dawn, the fire of our life burns brightly and everything is auspicious. At noon, we should be grateful to Shakyamuni Buddha for all the Dharma and sutras that he taught us. At night, our thoughts return to the land of ultimate bliss, the final haven where we wish to be reborn. All these years, you assume that other places did things the same way. You didn't realize that the city of 10,000 Buddhas has a different style. For example, at all the monasteries of Dharma Realm Buddhist Association, we begin each sutra lecture with a formal requesting of Dharma. You won't see this at other temples. I'm telling you this because you are not familiar enough with the Buddhist rituals to know if it is right or wrong. Does anyone have questions, criticisms, or opinions on this passage of the sutra, or on my explanation of it? In studying the Dharma, we should investigate the principles until we are completely convinced of them, without the slightest doubt in our minds. If you disagree with something in the sutra, speak up. If you really have no deluded thoughts, then you have already been born in the land of ultimate bliss. If you are truly free of desire, then you have already taught and transformed living beings. Who told you to indulge in deluded thoughts? Who told you to have thoughts of desire? If no one told you, then it's empty and false. If someone told you, who was it? If it was you, then why weren't you aware of it when the deluded thoughts first arose in your mind? Your not having any deluded thoughts is already the Pure Land. See how convenient? How immediate it is. Simply clean up your deluded thoughts and you'll be in the land of ultimate bliss. When you have no deluded thoughts, then you have no afflictions. That freedom from afflictions, that happiness, is itself the land of ultimate bliss. So don't go running all over the place. The Pure Land teaches very clearly. One definitely creates it. One doesn't really go anywhere. You create the Pure Land yourself by revealing the light of your own nature. The Pure Land is in the mind. Amitabha is in one's own nature. You needn't look outside. Ordinary people think that the Pure Land is outside, but if you really want to study and cultivate Buddhism, you must understand that the land of ultimate bliss and the Soho world are not beyond this very thought. A defiled thought is the Soho world, while a pure thought is the land of ultimate bliss. Don't be attached to the fact of your teaching living beings or being reborn in the land of ultimate bliss. Recite the Buddha's name without worrying about whether you will be reborn there. Just cultivate sincerely. If you are free of afflictions, then the land of ultimate bliss is right here, ready-made. If you become afflicted, then you are in the Soho world with its unspeakable sufferings. Sutra. Residing in that land, are two bodhisattvas, mahasattvas. The first is called universally radiant sunlight, and the second, universally radiant moonlight. They are the leaders among the immeasurable, uncountable hosts of bodhisattvas in that land, and will be the successors to that Buddha. They are able to maintain the precious treasury of the proper Dharma of the world-honored one, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata. Therefore, Manjushri, all good men and women who have faith should vow to be born in that Buddha's land. Commentary. Residing in that land are two bodhisattvas, mahasattvas. Shakyamuni Buddha said there is no distinction between Medicine Master Tathagata and Amitabha Tathagata, or between their respective Buddha lands. Now he speaks of two great bodhisattvas in the Vaidurya land. The first is called universally radiant sunlight, and the second, universally radiant moonlight. They are the leaders among the immeasurable, uncountable hosts of bodhisattvas in that land, and will be the successors to that Buddha. These two bodhisattvas assist Medicine Master Buddha in teaching the beings of the Vaidurya land. When Medicine Master Buddha retires from the Buddha position, universally radiant sunlight bodhisattva will take his place. And when he in turn retires, universally radiant moonlight bodhisattva will fill the position. They are able to maintain the precious treasury of the proper Dharma of the world-honored one, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata. After these two bodhisattvas become Buddhas, they will continue to honor the vows made by Medicine Master Buddha, adorning themselves with the Buddha's merit, virtue, and adornments, and using his methods to teach beings. They will receive and uphold Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata's vows and practices, thereby maintaining the precious treasury of the proper Dharma. Therefore, Manjushri, all good men and women who have faith should vow to be born in that Buddha's land, so that they can meet Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata and eventually become Buddhas themselves. Sutra. At that time, the world-honored one again spoke to the pure youth Manjushri, saying, Manjushri, there are living beings who don't distinguish good from evil, who indulge in greed and stinginess, and who know nothing of giving or its rewards. They are stupid, ignorant, and lack the foundation of faith. They accumulate much wealth and many treasures, and ardently guard them. When they see beggars coming, they feel displeased. When they have to practice an act of charity that does not benefit themselves, they feel as though they were cutting a piece of flesh from their bodies, and they suffer deep and painful regrets. There are other innumerable avaricious and miserly living beings who hoard money and necessities that they don't even use for themselves, how much less for their parents, wives, or servants, or for beggars. At the end of their lives, such beings will be reborn among the hungry ghosts or animals. If they heard the name of that Buddha, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, in their former human existences, and they recall that Tathagata's name for the briefest moment while they are in the evil destinies, they will immediately be reborn in the human realm. Moreover, They will remember their past lives and will dread the sufferings of the evil destinies. They will not delight in worldly pleasures, but will rejoice in giving and praise others who give. They will not begrudge giving whatever they have. Gradually, to those who come to beg, they will be able to give away their own heads, eyes, hands, feet, and even their entire bodies, to say nothing of their money and properties. Commentary. At that time, the world-honored one, Shakyamuni Buddha, again, compassionately, spoke to the pure youth Manjushri, saying, Manjushri, there are living beings who don't distinguish good from evil, who mix up good and evil, who indulge in greed and stinginess, unable to give things away, and who know nothing of giving or its rewards. They don't know how to be generous or how to treat people well. They don't understand that they should give to the needy. There are three kinds of giving. 1. Giving of wealth. 2. Giving of dharma. 3. Giving of courage. The giving of wealth means giving away one's wealth and property, including one's skills and talents, to help other people. In giving dharma, one bestows teachings suited to the needs of each individual, like a physician prescribing medicine. When one sees people who are suffering or in danger, one may bestow courage by comforting them and dispelling their fears. These are the three kinds of giving. If you have no wealth, you can give dharma. If you have no dharma, then you can give courage. You may also explain the rewards of giving to others, telling them, for example, that in giving one thing, one may reap a reward 10,000 times greater. As stated in Chapter 10 of the Earth Store Sutra, they are stupid, ignorant, and lack the foundation of faith. Ignorant people are those who have never heard the principles of cause, effect, and retribution. Those who lack faith and wisdom are skeptical when they hear the proper dharma. They do not have the dharma-selecting vision, the wisdom to determine the truth. They take what is true to be false, and vice versa. They accumulate much wealth and many treasures and ardently guard them. There are misers in this world who think about their wealth and treasures 24 hours a day. How they exhaust themselves. They are so preoccupied with guarding their riches that they can't taste their food or get a wink of sleep. Wouldn't you call that suffering? When they see beggars coming, they feel displeased. They think, "How dare you beg from me, you despicable thing?" When they have to practice an act of charity that does not benefit themselves, perhaps they are compelled by circumstances to give to charity. If they don't give, there will be trouble. When they are forced to give in this way, they feel as though they were cutting a piece of flesh from their bodies, and they suffer deep and painful regrets. For them, giving money is just like cutting the flesh from their bodies. The pain sears their hearts, and they cannot bear to do it. There are other innumerable avaricious and miserly living beings who hoard money and necessities that they don't use even for themselves, how much less for their parents, wives, or servants, or for beggars. There are countlessly many stingy ghosts who amass riches and store them away, not allowing anyone to use them. They cannot even bear to use these things themselves, so how could they possibly let their parents or wives enjoy them? How much the less would they share their wealth with servants or beggars? At the end of their lives, such beings will be reborn among the hungry ghosts or animals. Such misers may turn into poor ghosts, hungry ghosts, money-guarding ghosts, or animals. If they heard the name of that Buddha, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, in their former human existences, and they recall that Tathagata's name for the briefest moment while they are in the evil destinies, they will immediately be reborn in the human realm. As humans, they might have heard someone reciting the name of Medicine Master Buddha. If they remember that Buddha's name while they are in the three evil paths, they will be reborn in the human realm. Moreover, they will remember their past lives. Having the knowledge of past lives, they will dread the sufferings of the evil destinies. They will not delight in worldly pleasures, but will rejoice in giving and praise others who give. They will no longer indulge in eating, drinking, and making merry, but will instead delight in giving to all living beings and will praise those who do charity. No longer misers, they will not begrudge giving whatever they have. Gradually, to those who come to beg, they will be able to give away their own heads, eyes, hands, feet, and even their entire bodies to anyone who seeks for them, to say nothing of their money and properties. How much more will they be able to renounce other possessions? By giving, one reaps blessings. Those who were stingy in past lives are poor now, while those who were generous are now rich. It is said, "You must first give in order to get something in return. If you don't give, you won't get anything." We must be clear about cause and effect. If you make even a tiny mistake in cause and effect, the consequences may be terrible. When we come to the temple to bow to the Buddhas, we should try to benefit others, not try to gain something for ourselves. We should be willing to take a loss. People who come to the temple to steal food, money, or other things will certainly fall into the three evil paths. Be sure to tell your relatives and friends that, no matter what temple they go to, they shouldn't go there hoping to obtain responses or bargains or to steal things. If they do, they are creating great offenses. If you fail to tell them, then you have a share in their offenses. You should clearly explain the law of cause and effect to them so they won't make mistakes. The sutras tell us to give to others, not to constantly be seeking offerings from others. Buddhists should benefit others. Otherwise, we will only be thieves among the virtuous. If we constantly exploit situations and pull strings with the Dharma protectors, we are simply creating offenses and trying to destroy Buddhism. Hearing my advice, I hope you will wake up and quickly take stock of yourself. If you have faults, change them right away. And if you don't, then try even harder to be a good Buddhist. Don't be a phony Buddhist who tries to take advantage of Buddhism. Don't be tempted to do business within Buddhism, for it will surely lead you to the hells. The woman who came to our temple to try to sell jewelry didn't realize that she was asking for a terrible retribution. Be extremely careful. If you fall, I won't be able to save you. Sutra. Moreover, Manjushri, there are beings who, although they study under the Tathagata, nonetheless violate the Sila. Others, although they do not violate the Sila, nonetheless transgress the rules and regulations. Others, although they do not violate the Sila or rules and regulations, nonetheless destroy their own proper views. Others, although they do not destroy their own proper views, nonetheless neglect learning, so they are unable to understand the profound meanings of the sutras that the Buddha speaks. Others, although they are learned, nonetheless give rise to overweening pride. Shadowed by overweening pride, they justify themselves and disparage others, slander the proper Dharma, and join the retinue of demons. Such fools act on their misguided views, and further, cause immeasurable millions of beings to fall into pits of great danger. These beings will drift endlessly in the realms of the hells, the animals, and the ghosts. But if they hear the name of Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, they will be able to renounce their evil practices and cultivate wholesome dharmas, and thereby avoid falling into the evil destinies. If those who have fallen into the evil destinies, because they could not renounce their evil practices and cultivate wholesome dharmas, by the awesome power of the past vows of that Tathagata, get to hear his name for only a moment, then after they pass out of that existence, they will be reborn again as human beings. They will hold proper views and will be ever vigorous. Their minds will be well regulated and joyful, enabling them to renounce their families and leave the householder's life. They will take up and maintain study of the Tathagata's Dharma without any violation. They will have proper views and erudition. They will understand profound meanings and yet be free from overweening pride. They will not slander the proper Dharma and will never join the ranks of demons. They will progressively cultivate the practices of bodhisattvas and will soon bring them to perfection. Commentary. Moreover, Manjushri, Shakyamuni Buddha, in his great compassion, feared that living beings would not heed Medicine Master Buddha's instructions or his awesome spiritual power. Fearing that this wonderful Dharma would go in one ear and out the other, that we wouldn't really hear it, he wanted to explain it in more detail for those of us in the Dharma-ending age. He said, there are beings who, although they study the Dharma under the Tathagata, nonetheless violate the Sila. Sila is Sanskrit and refers to moral precepts that guard against evil and wrongdoing. Some people do not guard against wrongdoing, but recklessly break the precepts. Others, although they do not violate the Sila, nonetheless transgress the rules and regulations that everyone should honor and abide by. Others, although they do not violate the Sila or rules and regulations, nonetheless destroy their own proper views. Such people abide by the rules and yet are influenced by improper views. They have a strange manner and a peculiar point of view. Others, although they do not destroy their own proper views, nonetheless neglect learning. They are lazy when it comes to studying the Dharma. They waste time and pass up the opportunity to study the prajna, wisdom, in the sutras. So they are unable to understand the profound meanings of the sutras that the Buddha speaks. They have no wish to comprehend the truths in the sutras, which tally with the principles of the Buddhas above and the potentials of living beings below. Instead, they treat the sutras as their enemies. Others, although they are learned, nonetheless give rise to overweening pride. Some people have neither broken the precepts and rules, nor destroyed their proper views, nor neglected to study. But, because they are erudite and have studied many sutras, they become arrogant and think that they are better than everyone else. Shadowed by overweening pride, they justify themselves and disparage others. With their wisdom obstructed by their arrogance, they justify themselves and denounce others. They slander monasteries where people practice the proper Dharma, criticizing such practices as eating one meal a day, not lying down to sleep, and not keeping money. They say no one should cultivate in the Dharma-ending age. Really? I wonder what sort of Buddhism they study. And join the retinue of demons. Such people become friends and followers of demons. Such fools act on their misguided views, behaving improperly, and further cause immeasurable millions of beings to fall into pits of great danger, from which they cannot escape. These beings will drift endlessly in the realms of the hells, the animals, and the ghosts, undergoing endless suffering. But if they hear the name of Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, if these beings who have committed the 10 unpardonable offenses, Parajika, the 10 evils, or the 5 rebellious acts, offenses that merit falling into the relentless hells, get to hear that Buddha's name, they will be able to renounce their evil practices, which were based on improper views, and cultivate wholesome dharmas, and thereby avoid falling into the evil destinies. Then they will not fall into the hells, or among the hungry ghosts, animals, or asuras. If those who have fallen into the evil destinies, because they could not renounce their evil practices and cultivate wholesome dharmas. Some people may not be able to renounce their evil deeds right away and cultivate precepts, erudition, and proper views. They also find it difficult to follow the rules and regulations. However, if by the awesome power of the past vows of that Tathagata, they get to hear his name for only a moment, then after they pass out of that existence, they will be reborn again as human beings. The Buddha manifests before those beings and, using various expedients, causes them to hear the name of Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, so that when they die, they will be reborn as human beings. Once reborn as human beings, they will hold proper views and will be ever vigorous. Their minds will be well regulated and joyful, enabling them to renounce their families and leave the householder's life. They are always happy because they avoid selfishness, pursuing self-benefit, fighting greed, and seeking, knowing that these are causes for falling. They see through the transient affairs of the world and leave home to cultivate the way. They will take up and maintain study of the Tathagata's Dharma without any violation. They will have proper views and erudition. They will understand profound meanings and yet be free from overweening pride. They will vigorously study the Dharma under Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata. Never again will they transgress the precepts or rules, destroy their own proper views, or become lazy in their studies. Although they grasp the most profound and subtle principles in the sutras, they will not become arrogant. They will not slander the proper Dharma and will never join the ranks of demons. They do not join the demon's retinue. They will progressively cultivate the practices of bodhisattvas and soon bring them to perfection. Cultivating the bodhisattva practices step by step, they will soon realize perfect enlightenment. Sutra. Moreover, Manjushri, if there are sentient beings who harbor stinginess, greed, and jealousy, who praise themselves and disparage others, they will fall into the three evil destinies for countless thousands of years, where they will undergo intense sufferings. After undergoing intense sufferings, at the end of their lives they will be born in the world as oxen, horses, camels, and donkeys that are constantly beaten, afflicted by thirst and hunger, and made to carry heavy burdens along the roads. Or they may be reborn among lowly people, as slaves or servants, who are always ordered around by others and who never for a moment feel at ease. If such beings, in their former lives as humans, heard the name of the world-honored one, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, and by this good cause are able to remember it and sincerely take refuge with that Buddha, then, by means of the Buddha's spiritual power, they will be liberated from all sufferings. They will be endowed with keen faculties, and they will be wise and erudite. They will always seek the supreme dharmas and encounter good friends. They will eternally sever the nets of demons and smash the shell of ignorance. They will dry up the river of afflictions and be liberated from births, old age, sicknesses, deaths, anxieties, grief, sufferings, and vexations. Commentary. Shakyamuni Buddha patiently calls out again, "Moreover, Manjushri, if there are sentient beings who harbor stinginess, greed, and jealousy." A stingy person is a miser, but works like a dog to save up money for his children and grandchildren. Some people are insatiable. They are greedy even for garbage, thinking they can convert it into energy. Jealous people try to hinder others from obtaining benefit. People may be jealous of others' talents, intelligence, blessings, happy lives, or good fortunes. Usually, jealousy is hidden in the mind and is not seen by others until it manifests in one's behavior. The Bodhisattva precepts speaks very clearly about those who praise themselves and disparage others. Actually, people have sharp eyes. If you are truly good, they will be able to tell. You don't have to say anything. but some people advertise themselves. Hey, do you know who I am? I'm a great bodhisattva. I'm enlightened. I have great spiritual powers. They praise themselves but criticize everyone else, including the Buddha. They say God is unfair and Mother Earth is unkind. As for such people, I tell you, they will fall into the three evil destinies for countless thousands of years, where they will undergo intense sufferings. It's not known how many eons they will suffer as hell beings, hungry ghosts, and animals. By praising themselves and slandering others, and by being stingy, greedy, and jealous, they use up every last bit of virtue and blessings, and so must suffer all sorts of unbearable pains. After undergoing intense sufferings, at the end of their lives they will be born in the world, not as humans, but as oxen, horses, camels, and donkeys that are constantly beaten, afflicted by thirst and hunger, and made to carry heavy burdens along the roads. As beasts of burden, they toil under oppressive conditions, constantly being flogged and often going without food and water. They never know a moment of happiness. Or they may be reborn among lowly people, as slaves or servants, who are always ordered around by others, and who never for a moment feel at ease. When they are nearly finished paying for their offenses, they become people again, but are born into the poorest families, where they do not have adequate food, clothes, or shelter. They may also become slaves or servants, who must take orders from others, and are never at ease. If such beings in their former lives as humans heard the name of the world-honored one, Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, and by this good cause, this good seed, are able to remember it and sincerely take refuge with that Buddha. In this life they may once again think of that Buddha's name and take refuge in him with utmost sincerity. Then, by means of the Buddha's awesome spiritual power, by the spiritual power of his great vows, they will be liberated from all sufferings and distress. They will be endowed with keen faculties. They will have excellent seeing, hearing, and a highly developed sense of smell. They will have discerning taste buds. They will have an acute sense of touch and will be very intelligent with good memories. And they will be wise and erudite, understanding many principles. They will always seek the supreme dharmas. Not being satisfied with small achievements, they will always strive to advance. They won't grow weary and quit. When living beings with good roots encounter Medicine Master Vaidurya Light Tathagata, they will not be lazy. And they will always encounter good friends and good advisors who help them. They will eternally sever the nets of demons. They will be liberated from the demon king's retinue forever and will not be caught in their nets. And they will smash the shell of ignorance. For people who study Buddhism, it is crucial to smash the shell of ignorance. Ignorance is like an eggshell that isolates you. Inside the shell, you have no idea what is going on outside. Being all confused inside that shell of ignorance, you start having idle thoughts that lead to doing something wrong. They will dry up the river of afflictions and be liberated from births, old age, sicknesses, deaths, anxieties, grief, sufferings, and vexations. They will leave all these problems behind and always dwell in the four virtues of nirvana: permanence, bliss, true self, and purity. Fundamentally, our tempers do not come from the food we eat, nor from heaven or earth, nor from the weather. They come from our own ignorance. Ignorance comes from selfishness, as do afflictions indirectly. We have so much anger and afflictions simply because we are afraid to suffer losses. Not wanting to take losses, we get mad and fight. If we did not fight, were not greedy, did not seek anything, were not selfish, and did not want to benefit ourselves, we would have no anger. Among the bodhisattvas, Guanyin Bodhisattva has great compassion, and if you recite his name, he will relieve your sufferings and pain. He has great affinities with all beings. If you wish to strengthen your ties with Guanyin Bodhisattva, recite his name more often and let your light blend with his. Earth Store Bodhisattva has great vows. He cannot bear to see any living being in suffering. If we recite his name, he will help us to quickly attain Buddhahood with his awesome spiritual power. Did these two bodhisattvas place advertisements in the sutras to promote themselves? No. The Buddha, who always speaks the truth, personally praised them and told us about their great compassion and great vows.